This morning, to start things, at least in terms of God's Word, I want to pour water in this baptismal font. There was a time that you were baptized. There was a time that someone prayed over you, was concerned about how you looked, or was concerned about whether you had accepted Christ. And there have been individuals, a grandmother, grandfather, parents, brothers and sisters, people who have filled full your fountain with God's love, with an understanding of God's grace and God's presence. And it's appropriate that we turn to God's Word and that we remember we have been claimed by God, that we've been baptized, and that baptism is a sign and seal of the work of God. Calvin called it an outward sign of an inward work of grace. And so there's something going on in your mind and heart. If there isn't, then it would be our hope that what we do, what the praise band sings, and what we share would begin to fill your heart with hope and with the love of God and with the good news in Jesus Christ. And so let us pray that as here we are in the middle of this service, that in what we read and what we hear from the praise band and what we assimilate would be the good news of God working in us to make us the people God wants us to be in Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we have been claimed by you, that indeed, baptism is an outward sign of an inward work of grace, and you have been working in our lives for years. Bless us with faith. Bless us with, even now, with the conviction that you are, and that you love us, and that life can only get better because of your grace and mercy. We pray your blessing now on what we're about in this worship service. Open wide our minds and hearts to your word. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. For many years, I've wanted to preach this sermon about music and its message to heal and help us. For years, I have benefited from parents who love music, from a wife who loves music, and from a church that is moved by its song. The song of good news, of gospel, of joy and peace and life in Jesus Christ. And it seems to me that music is an incredible gift that has shaped my life in ways that I want to share. And so being a pastor has given me the responsibility of every week joining with someone like Ina Lane and the praise band and figuring out, well, what are we singing this week? Fortunately, we have a wonderful praise band who comes and leads us in song and in music. And every week, Ina will send me via email a little message, and I will take that and translate it, and then Jen and I assemble a worship service. And what you have in that bulletin, that sheet in front of you, is the work of Ina, Jen, and Fred. And years at Meadow Lake Presbyterian Church. There's a tradition here, and we seek to honor that. And so this morning, I recognize that long before I became a minister, music and its messages have been part of my life. And so I want to share a word that I believe helps us put music in some perspective. And so hear the Word of God from Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. As God's chosen ones, let's not use this. Let's use the Good News Bible that Jen has prepared for us, because that's what she and I agreed on.
It is good news.
It is good news. Yes, it is. You are the people of God, and He loved you and chose you for His own. So then, you must clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Hold on a minute. Can you move the scroll down a bit?
to the next
sentence. Whole page or partial?
Nope, that's good. Okay. Go back. I was thinking it looks so different from what I was reading that I didn't follow it. But let's go back. There we are. Be tolerant with one another and forgive one another whenever any of you has a complaint against someone else. You must forgive one another just as the Lord has forgiven you. And to all these qualities, add love, which binds all things together in perfect unity. The peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions you make. For it is to this peace that God has called you together in the one body, and be thankful. Christ's message in all its richness must live in your hearts. Teach and instruct one another with all wisdom. Sing psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. Sing to God with thanksgiving in your hearts. And everything you do or say, then, should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus as you give thanks through Him to God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. I bring this meditation to you for no particular reason today other than to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Several times as a pastor, I've been asked to read from Colossians 3, 12 to 17 at weddings. And in fact, the most recent time I've done that was at my daughter's wedding in March. And I identified there at least two parts of this that are powerfully important. Let the peace of Christ dwell in you richly, and let the word of Christ abide in you. And there's part of that that verse that I didn't recognize in the good news. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's the message of Christ in the good news. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And one of the ways you and I allow God's word to shape us is through music, through songs of the faith. And I would submit that even secular music can become a tool in God's hand to do something in your mind and heart to make you the person God wants you to be. I usually do not have time, as I said, to develop this idea. But this morning I want to share with you how music has been used by God to claim me and bring me to Himself, and to do a saving work in my mind and my heart. I'm not a perfect human being, but I stand before you as a forgiven sinner, saved by grace. And I'm on the way to being saved. And for that, I am grateful this day. Now, I share this with you because music is already a force for good in our lives. Music in this church has emerged from different people's ideas of contemporary music. Probably if we were to get Ina and I to work together here, we're not doing that, but we could create a history of music. And if we go back to David Ormerod, I know David Ormerod and Linda Bowman and Ina and the praise band have framed a real appreciation for contemporary music in this congregation. And it is part of who we are as a congregation. It fits in with the architecture of this room, of these facilities, and of the way we arrange this worship place. We cannot imagine worship without music. It is that important. And so to offer my own appreciation for music, this is one way that I can encourage all of us to recognize the value and the importance of singing, and to encourage you to join the praise band as they lead us in song. One of the earliest songs I remember is Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I learned that at First Presbyterian Church, Fayetteville, in Vacation Bible School. And I was taught a song, Living in a Racist World, that said, no matter who we are and what color we are, God still loves us and claims us. Through the 50s and the 60s and all the history of the turbulence that's happened in terms of racial reconciliation and the civil rights movement, that little song has reminded me of essential truths. And I'm grateful to God for it. It has shaped my soul. Well, I want to say this morning there are several other songs that I want to share with you that are profoundly important for me. I had 10, but I cut it to 5. I could talk for a long time about this subject because music is powerfully important, at least for me, I hope for you. First of all, I grew up with a father who loved gospel hymns. And it was normal for the two of us in Fayetteville in Cumberland County to go exploring on Sunday afternoons. And more often than not, amidst our laughing and his telling jokes and funny stories, he would sing gospel tunes at the top of his voice. And from him I learned, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather to their home beyond the skies, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Now, a very faithful minister told me once, that's very bad theology. But it doesn't matter. When I sing it, I hear my Father's voice. And it tells me that I may trust the life I'm living and move on to what is beyond, because there is a place for me in eternity. There's a confidence and faith in that song that I believe embraced me. Now, I went through a period of cynicism, and I didn't call myself a Christian for a bunch of years. And I don't believe I was one, though my reformed faith makes me rethink how I understand that claim, Alice. But this gospel song of my father and his faith singing it, there was a joy and a confidence. Thank God for the Baptist church, and thank God for those who've embodied a gospel tradition that is upbeat and uplifting and powerful and full of life. Because that's what this song I used to hear in the car on Sunday afternoons did for me. Secondly, I have spoken about my faith experience in college. I spent some time, I lived in France for a year, and while I was there, I got to know a group of young guys who were Baptist, Lutheran, and Episcopal in their faith experience. And we used to use the Broadman hymnal to sing together sometimes. And that group taught me a song that may or may not be in the Broadman hymnal, but we learned a song that goes like this, that continues to be important for me this day. He's able, he's able, I know he's able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He healed the brokenhearted and set the captive free. He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. He's able, he's able, I know he is able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Now that's not a traditional hymn. It's a simple little song that reminds me that God gives me courage to face whatever I'm going through in life. There's a song that a small Bible study group put in my heart, and I'm still singing it to this day, and it embraces me and reminds me of a caring God who loves us and cares for us in Jesus Christ, who is working in us by the Spirit. Next, I want to share that in the 1970s, Georgia, my wife and I were living here in Charlotte. We became involved with Resurrection Lutheran Church. And Resurrection Lutheran Church was doing all kinds of wild and crazy things in the 1970s. And that experience put the two of us in touch with music that we would have never heard in traditional churches, in mainline churches. Though Resurrection Lutheran was a mainline Lutheran congregation, it was anything but traditional. And I remember in those days in Charlotte, there were all kinds of singing ministries. One of them was entitled, If My People. It was a group that came through Charlotte, and they gathered, I believe, in the old Coliseum, what is now Bojangles Arena on Independence Boulevard. And the place was packed out. They had a wide singing group, a large singing group with an orchestra, and so it was a profoundly sophisticated musical presentation. And from that musical, I remembered this song. I can't sing the song, but I can share with you the words. You are the children of the kingdom of God. You're the chosen race for whom the Savior came. You're His noble new creation by the Spirit and the blood. You're the church for which He built to bear His name. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. And the hordes of darkness shall not pierce your light. For the host of God shall come and stand beside you, till the King shall reign triumphant in your sight. Now that song was important for me when we left Charlotte in the late 70s, for me to go and be a student at Princeton Theological Seminary in New Jersey. Because there were some difficult days in seminary, my wondering about what I believed and why I believed what I believed. And it was not unusual for me to come back to our apartment and to pull out the record. It was a 78 LP record that I put on our stereo. And I listened, "You're the children of the kingdom of God." It affirmed me. It reminded me of my identity. It told me who I was. And I could sing along with it. And it lifted me and boosted me and encouraged me to believe that I had been claimed in baptism by Jesus Christ, and God was right there. And there was nothing in life that I experienced that would take me away from God's love. It was during that same time when I was at Princeton that I heard the story of Karl Barth. Karl Barth was a profound Swiss theologian who wrote Christian Doctrine, a full shelf of books. And he was invited in the mid-1950s to speak to a gathering in Princeton, New Jersey. And he went through, he had a series of lectures. And every evening they gathered in the student center for coffee and dessert. And you know this story, you've heard it a zillion times. But one of the students there said, "Dr. Barth, can you tell us what is the most profound truth you've ever known in your life?" And he said to the body there, an academic group of students and professors, secular and sacred, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They're weak, but He is strong." Hearing that at Princeton Seminary sent me back to that song that I learned at Vacation Bible School and at First Presbyterian Church. And so I sing it now. And every time I'm up here with these children, I sing it and they go, "Oh gosh, I just don't want to sing this one. I don't want to sing a little child song." And yet that little child song contains the kernel of the essence of good news that makes the church the church. It is the love of God. And it has shaped my life in genuine ways. Another experience with music happened for me in seminary chapel, sitting in the balcony of Miller Chapel at Princeton. I began to hear again great Reformation hymns. "I greet thee who my sure Redeemer art." It was a hymn written by John Calvin, and it was in the Genevan Psalter in 1551. And I suppose bringing my less than conventional faith to that time and place gave me a newfound appreciation for the hymns that I grew up singing at First Presbyterian Church. When I heard these hymns of the faith that connected with me, I became a great fan of what we now call traditional church music. As you've heard, I tend not to be a traditionalist, but I became embraced by a Reformed tradition that began with the likes of Martin Luther and John Calvin. Our hope is in no other save in Thee. Our faith is built upon Thy promise free. Lord, give us peace and make us calm and sure that in Thy strength we evermore endure. I'm grateful for those great hymns of the church. And I think it's vitally important, whether you're a new Christian or you've only been a Christian for 5 or 10 years, that you begin to appreciate the tradition that has shaped and given a sense of who the Presbyterian Church and other churches are in Christ. Finally, I would say the church has taught me all kinds of hymns and songs that encourage me and put words in my mouth for the worship of the one who gave his life for me. When I was the temporary associate pastor at the second church in Richmond, I was often asked to do a 30-minute word and communion service in their beautiful chapel. And I worked with a musician who was rather formally trained, Mike Simpson. And Mike played concert piano quality music. And he taught me this little song. Take, oh, take me as I am. Summon out what I shall be. Set your seal upon my heart and live in me. These are words that bring me and bring us into the presence of God and say, Lord, take me as I am and summon out what you are doing in my life. Set your seal upon me and live in me. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great Lutheran pastor who stood up to Adolf Hitler and the author of The Cost of Discipleship, once wrote something about the importance of congregational singing, that all of us learn how to sing in unison together. Now, I want to get the attention of some of you who may be going to sleep and who don't really care about music that much. Bonhoeffer believed it was important that we all sing the same melody and the same message. And from singing that melody and message, we learn what it means to be in harmony with one another and in unity with one another. And that the Spirit is doing something special when a congregation sings together a hymn of the faith. Currently, I have a quarrel with much of contemporary Christian music. Not with our praise band, because I believe our praise band does a wonderful job in leading us. But I quarrel with contemporary Christian music because often, while it is celebratory and full of faith, I often find it hard to sing. I find it often improvisational and difficult to follow. And I've heard what Bonhoeffer has written about, and I've sung extensively, not in traditional ways, but in far more than traditional ways. And I believe it's important that the church has a song in its heart. Just now, the leaders of our church are wondering, how is this church, how are we going to grow? I believe one of the ways we grow is that you and I find a song in our hearts with the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ. Now, I can't tell you, if you get to know this song, it'll transform your life. But I can tell you that the Spirit of God has been working in you and given you your own set of songs like this, that you will start humming somewhere when you're at Lowe's or when you're in a difficult place. You might try to remember that melody, and you might even sing the song. You see, for the church of Jesus Christ to be alive. We're meant to be a worshiping people. And God wants to put a song in our hearts. Not just that we sing in worship, but that we take out the door, that we sing when we drive in the car, when we're in the midst of impossible situations, when we're being challenged, and when we're struggling, when we're alone, when we're afraid. This morning I've spoken about trust and courage and identity and strength and transformation, and yet that's not what this sermon is about today. It's about the Spirit of God putting a song in our hearts. And so I hope that more than ever you will follow the lead of our praise band. And if you don't know what they're singing, maybe you can hum along. Or if you can't hum along, I invite you to say the words. To say the words out loud. Or if you don't believe any of it, to simply listen to what the praise band is singing and saying. Because they're sharing a faith. They're sharing Jesus Christ. And it's vital that the church lives with the song in its heart. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, this day we thank you for the music of this church. We thank you for the songs that are in our hearts by faith. And we pray that you will continue to shape us and work in us for good through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.